in our mind and things that, you know, how many here, does your brain shut down? Nowadays it doesn't seem to. It just seems to go from one to another, to another, to another. And it's like, I've had enough thinking for the day. I need to stop. But he knows that too. And if we can just recognize that and do the surrendering to that, thank God that he is there. Today I want to just touch upon a little bit of time here about rest. But God tells us in his word to rest. And we are a people that, my goodness, you know, back in the, I'm sure, early 1900s and the 1800s, there was a lot of times of easier to rest than there is now in the 2026 because of just, you name it, you already know it. To find a quiet space, a quiet time, it's hard. Even in your own home, it's hard. And I think it's because what's happening is the enemy, he is battling us in that area because God tells us to rest. And so because God tells us to rest, and it's not just the Sabbath, but we need to rest throughout the week. But the enemy, Satan, knows that that's what God wants you to do. So if that's what God wants you to do, what's the enemy going to try to do? He's going to try to steal your rest. He's going to try to take that time that you used to find some quiet time. And he's going to find busy things. He's going to have somebody call you. He's going to have somebody ask you to do something that you normally have that time set aside for, maybe just me and God. Maybe it's just time where God says, Tim, you know what? You can sit there and you don't even have to think about me. I know we're supposed to keep our thoughts on him a lot, but I think God would say, Tim, just it's okay to shut down. Just turn the thoughts off. But I think when I hear that, I think I hear God say, and look around. Look around and see the surroundings around you and find peace in them. We all have to have a sanctuary. I've got a couple of places, whether it's out here sometimes or just in my backyard. But I want to share just a little bit in regards to that, what is important about rest. And then we'll get into some of that of God's word too. But rest is essential for physical and mental restoration, to restore us. We are a body that needs to be rebuilt and renewed. We find that if we can rest, it helps reduce stress. It improves our cognitive functions. Now, they got studies of what's the adequate rest. It kind of varies, but they're saying like 7 to 9 hours of sleep, of course. But with that, if you can get some 7 to 9 hours of sleep, that downtime, it lowers the risk of heart disease, obesity, infections. It boosts mental health. It helps your memory, and hey there, I want to start on that right now. Helps your emotional stability. Can you see why the devil would like to not have you rest? It acts as a necessary reset for our bodies. And God already knew all that. That's why his scripture tells us to rest. Jesus says, find rest in me. You know, my yoke is light, you know, the things that he wants us to do. It's not heavy work. It's not things that we have to struggle with. But we need to reset. This reset does a lot of things within us. It reduces the cortisol. That's the stress hormone that is we all have. Everyone in here has cortisol in them. And it's the stress factor. When stress hits, that baby pumps in, and it starts filling and saturating your blood and everything to help you do what you got to do. Whether it's to pick up something that fell, I don't know, but the stress of, you know, if you have to flight or, you know, run or flight or whatever the case is, stay. It's all these things that builds into us, but it helps us reduce that stress hormone. It allows tissues and the brain to repair itself. This rest is important. We've got to rest. I'm telling you, we got to rest. So our immune system, it helps, right? It helps us body repair cells, removes our waste products, it produces immune-boosting substances. That, you know, when you get your immune built up, it helps not get sick as much. What do we find when we get wore down? Sickness. Your body can't handle it. Sickness. Devil wants to destroy you with sickness. We wonder, like, why am I sick? Well, maybe it's because you're not getting the rest. Maybe your body is not rebuilding itself through a lot of means. Rest, diet, food, water, you know, all of these things that we need to do. It repairs our physical recovery. It helps our muscles with our tension and aids in the muscle repair. It does repair heart and blood vessels. It will also help with quality rest, helps regulate our appetite hormones, reducing the diets of, you know, obesity and diabetes and heart problems, all of these things that are part of, we are seeing such a high level of diabetes and heart disease. People that, you know, how do these kids, the diabetes, all these things that are happening in the children and young adults and, you know, young men and young women, heart attacks, what is going on? Dietary, yes. Lack of exercise, yes. We're all attached to these devices that keeps us stimulated. The mind just go, 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 go. Talks about helps reduce and manage our blood pressure. Well, if you can do that, you reduce the percentages of strokes, cardiovascular diseases. So that's the physical aspect of our rest. The body needs that. But there's an important part for our mind as well. We find in our mind the cognitiveness of us. The sleep helps the brain store new memories. It helps us to be able to process information, improve learning, concentration. Have you ever found yourself not able to concentrate on things? Yeah? Check out your rest. Check out breaking away from some of these things. Rest helps us manage our emotions. Irritability reduced. You don't have as many or any mood swings. Stress-related anxieties. The anxieties in our bodies of today is just monumental. That stress level causes all kinds of things in our heart, in our stomach, in our digestive. And we wonder why we're sick and have full of diseases. I know it's a lot with food and the processing and all of that. But, you know, there is a lot to the other part of this, of the rest that God speaks of in His Word. We need to rest. And rest is even like taking a break. How many people take a break? How many at work? I'm going to go on break, but yet they're still working. But we find that we end up working at our desk. We keep doing things. We're on break, but we're still doing things. Even when we go on break, we take our phones with us. We're not resting. We're texting and talking. And we're not resting, guys. We're not doing what God has instructed us to do so that we can have a clearer thought process in our brains, that we can have our muscles rebuild themselves, that our body can flush out things. We are not built to go 24/7, right? But this world is trying to put us into that. Why is that? Remember, I started off saying the devil is against the rest that God wants us to do. So the devil wants to just keep you busy, do, in your jobs. Well, to get ahead of my job, I'm going to just push so I can get promoted. So you can get promoted so that you can die young of a heart attack or have ulcers or destroy your marriage. Did you know that while you're sleeping, your brain is relieving and removing junk? It's getting rid of bad stuff in your brain, the chemicals that have been used. You got to flush it, right? So sleeping is waste removal. We find that during sleep, the brain clears out harmful neurotoxic waste products that build up during the day. We don't think of these things, do we? Now, this is not God's word. This is man's studies that have shown these things of the effects and not the effects or the benefits of whatever of rest. But your brain has to dump. You've got to have a dump every night to get rid of this stuff. If you don't slow down, if you don't rest your brain, it just keeps multiplying and moving this stuff. And what happens if you don't get rid of gunk? It does. Your fuel filter. You name a filter, it'll clog it. Poor sleep reduces our focus, our memory, our decision. You can't even make proper decisions because why? You're not rested. We wonder why sometimes we go, that was a dumb decision. We even call that ourselves. Back in the day, I say, well, Tim, that was pretty dumb of you to do that. Why did you do that? Well, let's look at the last 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours. Did we get rest? Did we do this? Did we have time to go outside and just clear out everything? Again, linked to stress, anxieties, depression. Depression. How many people are depressed in this day? Depressed. We have a physical weakness. Chronic lack of sleep can lead to illnesses. Immune system. So now when we speak of rest, it can be passive, which is sleeping or sitting. Or it could be an active rest. Walking. Hobbies. It's a thing of rest is to get away. And that's, you know, with the Sabbath and God, you know, created the world, then on the seventh day he rested. He had a lot going on. He's told us it's in part of our Ten Commandments, you know, to honor the Sabbath. People always get into conversations like, what does that mean? What am I supposed to do? Well, okay, yeah, go to church and then go home and do nothing? No. Go to church, go home, but do something different. Rest. Go golfing. Go fishing. Go yard work. Go this. Go that. Whatever the case is. Go see family. Whatever the case is. I had looked it up one time because people got into some of that conversation. It's like, whoa, Sabbath, what should I do? Just got to go to church and then go home. And I know back in the day, people go to church and they'd be at church in the morning, have lunch on the grounds and have an afternoon service and be there. And you know what? Now, I don't want to sound bad about that, but sometimes you can work at going to church. You can get to church to the point to where you're not even resting, but you're just actively doing. That's not rest. That's not what God has asked us to do. He knows the importance of us. Yes, keep the day holy. Think upon the things of God. Go to church, have a service, praise, worship, pray, honor, whatever the case is. But take that time to rest. So I looked it up one time. You can get studies out there, and are they right or are they wrong? I don't know. But sometimes it's like you can consider it rest if you take your Sunday and you do something, but it's not like your normal job. It's not something that you're getting paid for. It's something that's totally disconnected from your Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, 9 to 5, whatever it is, your normal job. There has to be that break, that separation. And a lot of times you just have to leave it to the people to figure that out. What's your Sabbath? Some people's Sabbath is on Saturday. Some, you could have a Sabbath on Thursday. I know God said on the seventh day, but God just wants us to find a time to take a day, but also remember him, think upon him. But, you know, as a child of God, I'm looking at this just myself. That if I am with my God 7 days a week, praying, talking, asking, listening, reading, I don't have to take that special seventh day to think that's my one time I want to get with God. Now it is good to come together on a Sunday as a fellowship. Forsake not the gathering of the assembly. We do want to come to that gathering to where we can pray, like this couple here has a prayer request. If we all stayed home, how many would you have known that? Now this week, you'll know that. You can keep that in prayer for your prayer times throughout this week. That's what the body of Christ is when we come together and assemble at least for a few hours on one day. And ours is on Sunday. But as I look at this, you know, I speak and talk and listen and, oh yeah, I mumble and grumble with God. Anybody else grumble and mumble with God? Thank you for your honesties. Arguments with God. But we also know rest is, yes, sleeping, but rest is also doing walking, sitting, downtime. So that brings me to, now, Psalms 23. We read Psalms 23 at funerals all the time, you know. But Psalms 23 is for us the living. For us the living. So we know it, but it says in Psalms 23 in the New King James, of course, it starts off, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And that "want" there is, "I shall not lack." As the Lord is my shepherd, He's got me covered. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Or He makes me to lie down in tender grass. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of the righteous for His name's sake. And verse 4, "Yea," this is where the funeral is, "yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for You are with me, for Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." You know, when we are in the living, we walk this walk out in His time here, and we're in His kingdom, but we're up on this earth. There are times out there in those valleys and those shadows that we're out there, it does seem like death. It does seem like oppression. It does seem like things coming upon us. But we can look at this, and this does give us rest. We know that when we die here, we go to a much better place. We will have rest. We're going to do whatever God wants in heaven. He's going to send us back. Whatever I know it's going to be is He's going to give me the strength. I'm going to be praising Him and worshiping Him, and I'm going to be serving Him however I can. But I know when He calls me home to a much better place, it'll be a lot better than this place. But as I go through this place in this life, I'm alive. I'm part of this, what's going on. And there is times that I might feel like I am in a valley. I am in a shadow of times upon this earth. But I also have to know that I will have no fear of what takes place upon this earth around me and what I'm going through. That for His rod is with me. For Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all," what? "The days of my life. And all my life You were so faithful." Yeah, the goodness of God. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So we should find comfort in that. Daily, through what we're going through. So, looking at this, Psalms 23 can serve as a daily anchor for us. Living this life where we're at. We find that through this, we find peace. We find guidance. We find security by that of God. Now, as we know, as God, as a devoted shepherd who takes care of us in many ways, He provides for our needs, as we read. Verse 1, restoring our weary souls and things. And verse 3, taking care of our need. I'm sorry, verse 1, He provides for our needs. Restores our souls, verse 3. And verse 4, we find protects us during the dark times. We are instructed to rest, to trust in His leadership, and to experience, listen to this, and to experience rather than chase after His abundance. How many, you know, we're trying to rush after God to find His abundance when He will give you the needs. He will take care of you. You know, what a fitting time, I guess, for what this couple is going through of a decision. Like, yeah, they're not, you know, going to heaven and it's not a funeral, but they need to rest in knowing that they're going through a valley right now in their life of making a decision which is monumental. Anytime you go and move states away and change up of things, it's like you need some peace. You need some divine intervention. You need to know that His rod and His staff are there. You know, the rod is to beat and to protect. The staff is like that for the shepherd, is to lead you. So he's there with that rod to protect you, to beat those things around you, to take care of you. But then he's got that staff, as a shepherd has, to where he could put that crook, you know, into that sheep's around the neck to pull them out or to guide them or to get them back over or whatever the case might be. That's our God with us. So when we look at this as a daily devotion, that I shall not want, he wants us to shift our mindset from the scarcity. You know, we think like, oh, I just don't have enough. Oh, I just, oh, little old me, little old this. What? Oh, what are we going to have? But we got to go from that of scarcity to that of the understanding of the abundance by trusting that he, God, is meeting and will meet our physical, our emotional, and our spiritual needs. What a God, an all-encompassing God. He's not just a one God for this, and we got to find somebody else for that, and find a third person for that. No. God is over it all. Isn't it nice when you have a problem that you just go to the person that can answer it, rather than talking to the five or six people below that? It makes me know and feel better knowing that I've got the ear of my God that can handle all the things that I've got need of, physical, emotional, spiritual, that I go to God, that I don't have to go through the process. Because I'm going to tell you, it wears you out when you got to repeat the same thing five or six times. But that's who our God is. That's the God I serve. That's the God you serve. Is that we go right to the top. That's where we had talked earlier about in Hebrews. Come boldly to the throne. As I go boldly to my God when I have a need, I don't go timid. I don't go, oh, woe is me. I go to my God and say, God, I got a problem. God, I got an issue. God, if I'm not seeing it right, correct me. But Lord, go before me and take care of it. We got to have that ability to do that. But I can do that because I know who I am in his sight. But more importantly, I know who God is in my sight. That he is everything to me. And that he cares for me, for the littlest thing that irritates me to the largest thing that irritates me, I can go to God and he will listen. How about it for you? Same? Ain't that awesome? That's the God we serve. What about that rest? Makes me to lie down. We should actively find moments of peace and relaxation to acknowledge that rest is essential, and it's ordained by God. Resting is not laziness. Resting is not laziness. Now, maybe you stretch together like, you know, 5 or 6 days of rest, and it's not your vacation. You know, that could be lazy. I don't know. What that be between you and God? But sometimes we get to that point like, yeah, and I have to admit, can I admit something to you guys? Is it okay to be honest? There are times that I find that it's hard for me to stop and sit and just sit. Because I am dealing with this stuff too. My mind hits on something and I'm sitting there and I'm going, if I got up and do this right now, it'd be done. Whether it's something around the house, in the kitchen, outside. You just sit there and my mind, and that's the enemy. The enemy is bombarding you like, you know this needs to be done, right? And you're going, oh man, if I can just, I'm up and then going. I'm guilty as charged. And it's a lot for me. Me. Not that I'm important, but I'm saying that God's word ministers to me. And I guess I think sometimes when I'm going through this, I'm supposing you guys could maybe benefit, even if you glean a little bit from what I'm going through, the struggles, these things that frustrate me. But I, too, sometimes find it hard just to sit and not jump back up and do something. Like, you feel like I'm not being productive. Anybody feel like that? Hello, guys. It's hard to sit. because we think we got to get it done. So resting is not laziness. It's essential. It's ordained by God to rest. Turn to God when you're weary, when you're overwhelmed, even when you're empty. There's times, don't you feel like you're empty? You're just empty, and it's like, I don't know what more to do. Or you feel like is there much more in of me here to give out? I don't know, God, you know, because we give out or we're helping or whatever. But we get to that point where I just feel empty. Well, I know who can fill me. You know who can fill you. God, fill this vessel. Bring it in. Top me off. Fill me up to overflowing again with that oil, with that water, whatever, oil, water, whatever, Lord, I need filling of you more. So we do find that we are weary, we're empty. We look for eternal peace and renewed strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. How do we wait upon the Lord? Sometimes you just wait upon him by just waiting upon him. Have a conversation with him. Hey, what's going on today? How are things overseas? You know, I don't know. You know. What's going on around the world, God? You know, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got But just to talk to God. Man. We need to actively submit to God's leadership. Get away from I can do it. I'm in charge. Let God lead you. He says he will go before you. Go before me, Lord. Prepare the way. Submit to his leadership and you will find rest rather than rushing through life trying to manage everything. Allow him to restore your soul, not just your body. But we've got to be willing to manage things, but we've got to allow God to control these things. And God does give us these abilities, and he's there for that. How do we do this? Trusting God to guide your decisions, even when you don't see the full picture. How many in your life today can see the full picture of what's going to transpire? Can you see the end, the result of what you guys are going through right now? No. Myself? No. Anybody here? No. We are right here in today. I can only tell you right here, right now. But God knows the after and what's next and what's next and what's next. And that's why as we trust him and we rest in him, he just says, here, Tim, just find rest. I've got it handled. I got it prepared. You're going to walk into it if you just listen to me. But we got to yield to the Holy Spirit. Overcoming fear, we can find this. Fear no evil. Okay, we can use that verse as a grounding affirmation that you're not alone during difficult situations. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. When we are facing these times that are dark, remember that you're walking through them not alone. Hallelujah. I'm not alone, for he is with me. And you know what? When you're going through these times, it's not to stay in them. We are to view struggles and these temporary setbacks or these temporary things, they're temporary. They're not permanent. Maybe you got to recircle the wagons. Maybe you got to get a little bit closer to God. Maybe you need to listen to God a little more. Whatever the case is, but these are just temporary setbacks throughout this whole thing. This is all this whole week. It's like I can't get my mind off of anything other than I was telling somebody, it feels like, you know, this whole week, it feels like this roof has been being done. It's been taking like 6 months to get this thing done because it was like one thing after another, whether you're dealing with the weather, the rain, this, that, whatever the case might be. But I have to tell myself, guess what? It's just temporary. Recognize that God protects, corrects, provides comforts and security during these valley times. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus says that. Our cup overflows. Look for the blessings, even in tough times. Focus on God's goodness, mercy, which is with us daily. Practice active faith. Live with an attitude of gratitude and praise, even in the midst of a challenge. Recognize the abundance of God's blessings. The little blessings, the big blessings. I want to be one to be known when I go to God and he looks at me and he's going to say, I hope, Tim, you know, what I found so neat about you, Tim, is that you recognize the small blessings even that I gave you. Everybody knows this is the big blessings. Easy peasy for big blessings, right? But are you looking for God in the small things, in the little things? That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to see. That I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. When things go out and it's crazy, you've got to wonder sometimes. I mean, I'll wrap this up. And this is coming out of Psalms 23. There's some other things here that I want to get into of verses and all that other things about in Matthew and Psalms and Exodus. And I'll look at that next week. We've got to get this wrapped up. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Father, I thank you that when we come against hard times, that you're there. That, Father, even when we come upon things that we can't explain, you're there. And that you keep us safe and you keep us protected. And that, Lord, that should be the ability then that we can say, you know, I can rest though the storm rages around me. Why? Lord, your word shows us and tells us that Jesus was in the bottom of the boat sleeping when there was a high and a heavy storm on the seas. I believe we've got to be like that. And I want to be in your boat, God, so that you can gentle the rough waters around me, so I can praise and worship you and say, I love you. Today, go with us. Today, guide us. Today, help us in those areas of rest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.